We come today to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we begin our study in verse 5. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older." Now let's stop there for a second. Young people want to be themselves. And that's understandable. But they must still submit to the authority figures in their life. They need to be taught that that is important. Submission is important. Whether you agree with the authority figures in your life or not doesn't matter. It is a command of God. And they might as well learn to submit when they're young, because they will be submitting to someone until the day that they die. It's inevitable. It is built right into creation. It is part of God's order. Submission is something we cannot escape. And somebody might say, "Well, I'm not submitting to anyone. I'm my own person. I'm just going to do what I want to do." No, you'll submit. If you think you're not going to submit to anyone, you're going to submit to the sheriff. Or you're going to submit to the policeman, and then you're going to submit to the judge, and then you're going to submit to the warden. You're going to submit. You can't get away from it. It's part of God's plan. And so it says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God opposes the proud. Proud people think they are more important than others. Proud people exaggerate their own value, and they underestimate the importance of others. And because they are so proud, and they think so much of themselves, they want others to serve them, but they will not humble themselves and serve others. They just think that that is beneath their dignity. Well, you know, Jesus didn't think it was beneath his dignity. He is God, and yet he served us. And so God is against proud people. They think they're special, but to God they are wrong. Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due season." Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. In other words, it's important for Christians to accept whatever God allows to happen to them. Doesn't mean you can't pray for a change. Doesn't mean you can't work for a change. But as long as the situation is what it is, it's important to accept whatever God has allowed today. Accept it with grace. Trust God. Continue to serve him the best you can, even though it may not be the way you thought it was going to be. 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. God cares for us. Even when it doesn't seem like he cares for us, he cares for us. God cares for us, even when we are unhappy. Being unhappy isn't a sign that God doesn't care about us. Worry and sadness doesn't prove that God doesn't care about us either. If anything, worry and sadness, if anything, they prove that we are too concerned about having things our own way. A lot of times, they are the result of an ungodly self-focus. The important thing is to tell God what worries you, tell God what makes you unhappy, and then trust him to handle it his way, even if it's not your way. Verse 8, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And Peter knows all about that. He knows what it's like to be devoured by Satan. He knows what it's like not to be alert and to have that happen as a result. Peter knew what it was like to let his guard down and become the devil's victim. It happened on Holy Thursday, the night Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, the night he was betrayed. He told Peter, said, Peter, pray that you don't fall into temptation. Pray. Peter did not pray. He slept. And so he ended up denying Christ 3 times that night. The devil devoured him. We cannot allow ourselves to become lazy Christians. We cannot allow ourselves to let our guard down. We must keep up the disciplines of prayer, reading the Bible, and going to church. If we do not, we will have a weak spot, and you can bet the devil is going to exploit it. 9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. He says resist him, resist the devil. How do you do that? Well, you don't give in to the devil when you don't give in to temptation. Do not give in to the devil by indulging in sin. Oppose him. Defeat him. When we refuse temptation, we defeat the devil. And he says in verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith. That's very helpful. That's how we resist him, by standing firm in the faith. In other words, hang on to the faith. That is, cling to what you know the Bible teaches and live it. Cling to it. Live it. Knowing that it is true. Don't forget it's true. Stand firm in the faith. When we follow the way of truth, when we believe the word and cling to the word, instead of following the path of sin, Satan loses every time. And it is in our power, by the grace of God, to do that. Verse 9, one more time, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We're not unique. The temptations we are faced with, the trouble we are faced with, it's not unique. Christian suffering is required. Peter has been talking about it from the very first chapter. Jesus talked about it. It's required. We are not the only ones who sacrifice or suffer for Jesus. All Christians who are Christians will suffer in some way for Jesus Christ if they live holy. And so we all, as individual Christians, have a measure of suffering to endure. And it is part of the suffering that the Lord's church as a whole must go through before the sufferings of Christ are complete. And we are to share in the sufferings of Christ, the Bible says. Do our part. 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Satan's attacks are not going to last forever. He's working hard right now because he knows that his time is short. And so his attacks are not going to last forever. And we Christians will not suffer forever either. This is just all very temporary. Because the good times with Jesus Christ that we enjoy, they will go on forever. And they will get better and better. See, that's reality. The devil doesn't want us to believe that. The devil wants to weaken us by getting us to think that holiness isn't worth the trouble. If he can get us to believe that holiness isn't worth it, that it really doesn't matter one way or another, he's got us. He's got us trapped, and he can destroy us. But God says, be strong. Keep believing me. Holiness is worth it. Faith in Jesus Christ is worth it. 12. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Silas was a leader in the early Jerusalem church, along with Peter. And Peter wants us to know that what he has written is true. He's just reminding us, hey, this is true. This is the word of God. It's true. So stand on it and live it. You're not going to be disappointed. You know, that may sound repetitious to keep saying the word of God is true, the word of God, but it is. And we have to be constantly reminded of that because we can so easily stray in our mind. 13, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Babylon was actually a code name for an evil city, and that evil city was Rome. That's where Peter was. Peter was the first bishop in Rome, and he was martyred for his faith in Rome, and so was Paul. Verse 14, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Notice where the peace is. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. It is between Christians. The key to peace among people is for those people to be committed to Christ. It's not so much to sit down together and hammer out disagreements. I mean, there may be a time for dialogue, but the main key in receiving peace between people is to have peace between those people and Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ and you're walking with Christ, peace between people will take care of itself. And it will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's it for 1 Peter chapter 5, and that's it for 1 Peter. And I will see you in 2 Peter. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.